Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Connect on blogtalkradio.com. Catch us on the web at umconnect.info. Well, welcome to this episode of Connect. I'm Michael Rich, the Web and Communications Manager for the Western North Carolina Conference. And today's guest is Innocent Justice, who is the pastor of Cedar Grove United Methodist Church in Norwood, North Carolina, in the Uori District. He is a refugee from Rwanda and is also the founder and president of Refugees Rescue Mission. And today we're going to find out more about Innocent and his ministry. We've got him by phone. So welcome to the show, Innocent.
Oh, Michael, thank you very much for having me. It's such an honor for me to have this conversation with you.
Well, I'm looking forward to it as well. I can remember the first time I met you. You may not have remembered this. It was in 2013, I believe it was. I think you were commissioned that year as a provisional member, and you were at the lake, and we were there at annual conference. And I have never met a more joyful individual. You were just amazed on that day that you reached provisional membership.
Yes, indeed, Michael. Thank you very much for your kind words. Yes, indeed, I was commissioned in June of 2013. It was such a special day for my family and I because it's something we have been looking forward to. So I remember, I think I gave even a short interview before my commissioning, I remember, but I did not really connect the person I spoke with and the person I'm talking to now. But now I know.
Well, I don't actually think I did that one, but I just remember meeting you at that annual conference. I wasn't actually doing this job until later in 2013. I just had remembered the joy on your face that day. And so let's go into some questions so that people can find out more about you, more about your ministry. Give us a little of your background. Where are you from? Where you grew up? How did you come to Western North Carolina?
I was born in the northern province of Rwanda, and when I was a year old, my parents moved to the capital city, Kigali, where I grew up most of my life. I grew up in Kigali, in 1990s, I started the school, high school. Also was the same time when we experienced the Civil War. 1994, many people fled to the neighboring country. So I was one of those who fled there. After 2 years, many refugees were forced to return back home. I was among those who returned, and I stayed a little bit. The situation wasn't really good for me, so I decided to leave again. It's a long journey, but I'll be more than happy to share with you my journey.
Well, we probably don't have time to go into the whole details since this is a 30-minute show, but let's talk about some of that journey, how you eventually ended up in Western North Carolina. And it might have something to do with your call to ministry, because I remember you saying that you received this call early, but it was difficult to pull off in your home country of Africa. Give us as much detail as you can in this early part.
Yeah, my early part of ministry, I must share with your listeners that I was born and raised in a Christian family. My dad and mom were members of the Roman Catholic Church, but faith wasn't really something we practiced at home. My mom was very devoted to her church, but my dad was one of those we call CEOs, people who go to church on Christmas and Easter only. So that's kind of how I was raised, and until when I was a teenager, when my sister, who was 2 years older than I, gave her life to Jesus Christ. It was in the early 90s, and the Pentecostal movement was really growing so fast. So when I went home, because I was at the time I was in the high school, in the boarding school, my sister told me that she had given her life to Jesus Christ. I thought it was crazy at the time because I viewed myself as a Christian. But I saw a huge change in her life, the way she lived, her faith. It was completely different. And the peace she had, the way she prayed on a regular basis, I really wanted to have what she had, but I did not know how until when the time came for me. I gave my life to Christ, and I joined the Pentecostal church that she was part of. So I was really very involved in that church, especially in the youth ministry. I remember one day I reached out to the pastor. I asked him if he could give me an opportunity to share the scripture I read, because I read the Bible a lot, and whatever I read, I did not want to contain that inside of me, but I wanted people to share. So when I was given that opportunity, the pastor told me that I may be called in ministry. I did not know what he was talking about, because I never had anyone in my family who was a preacher or the pastor, but that was really the moment in which I realized that God called me in ministry when I preached my first sermon.
Okay. Now, how old were you at the time?
At the time, I was 21, I think.
Okay.
I was about 21, 22, somewhere.
Okay. So you're called to the ministry in your 20s. Tell us how this has all evolved to coming to Western North Carolina and then ending up going to seminary at Duke and graduating from Duke. How did that all come about?
The way it came about, as I said, around 2001, I left the country because the situation wasn't really there were still some issues, and I fled for my own safety. I ended up in Pretoria, South Africa, where my wife and my daughter, who was 6 months, joined me. We lived in South Africa for 4 years, from 2001 to 2005. As political refugees, there is a program in the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, which they call resettlement, which helps refugees who cannot return to their countries to have countries that would welcome them and eventually integrate them into their societies. There are about 5 countries which I call Good Samaritan countries.
Mm-hmm.
United States is one of them. So we started the process, which was a long process. It took about 4 years. When we were approved, we knew that we were coming to the U.S., but I had no idea that I would end up in Kentucky, Lexington, which I was not aware of. So that's really how I ended up coming in the U.S., and I went to the community college there. After I finished community college, I knew my call was in ministry. I transferred to John Wesley College in High Point. From High Point in 2010, I went to Duke and I did my MDiv, Masters of Divinity there. But I started my candidates process in 2009 when I was still in Greensboro area.
Okay. Very good. So It's been a long process. I don't know your age, but from the time you were called till the time you got ordained, many years. How many years involved with your process?
It has been a long journey. Now I am 42, I can say that, as I say, I was around 22 when I started the ministry in my country. So now you can count it's about 20 years.
Okay. And in the process, moving clear across the world to the United States as a refugee, going to many years of school, and I understand you're actually starting another degree now. Is that right?
Yes, I started a doctoral of ministry from Gardner Webb in 2014. Actually, I'm about to finish if I finish my final project.
Wow. That is pretty amazing. 22 years through this process. And now you are serving a church there in Norwood in Uwari District. Before that, you were serving as an associate. Is that correct?
Yes, I served 2 years at Blair Road in Mint Hill.
Okay. And so you've had those pastoral experiences. While you were in seminary, I'm sure that you did field education and served in churches as well.
Yeah, I had an opportunity when I was at Duke. I served a church in North Durham. There is a church called Duke's Chapel, UMC.
Mm-hmm.
I served as an associate student pastor for 3 years while I was a student, which really helped me to get exposed to ministry, and I learned so much. I owe them very much.
Okay. Well, what I'm thinking is that we can take a break now, and then we're going to come back and talk more specifically about a project dear to your heart, the Refugee Rescue Mission. So here's a word now from our sponsors, the first one from the Western North Carolina Conference.
Hi, I'm Liz Bichelle, video coordinator for the Western North Carolina Conference. While my responsibilities include coordinating videos and recording audio, other members of the systems and communications team work with databases and computers. Other departments at the conference deal with finances, and others help build vital churches and assist new clergy. While each one of us at the conference staff have differing gifts and skills, we all work together for one mission, to follow Jesus, make disciples, and transform the world.
The United Methodist Foundation of Western North Carolina is a ministry of the church for the church, whose mission is to build a church for generations to come. We fulfill this vision by investing in people, as well as helping churches and related institutions invest the financial resources that God has given to them. My name is David Snipes, and we look forward to the day when you give your United Methodist Foundation a call.
And you can find out more about the United Methodist Foundation Western North Carolina at the sponsor page on our show's website, which is umconnect.info. And so we're back now with Innocent Justice. He's on the phone with us from Norwood and from his parsonage. And so when you contacted me back in September, you really wanted to talk about the Refugee Rescue Mission. This is a project that you founded and you are the president of. And so here's your opportunity. Tell us all about that Refugee Rescue Mission.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. I really wanted to talk about Refugees Rescue Mission. First of all, it's my passion. And for me, who was a refugee until I came to U.S. and became a citizen, it's a cause that is dear to my heart to help refugees and also to raise awareness about refugees. Because I have realized that many people do not know anything about refugees, and I don't blame them. If you never fled and left your country, you can't really quite understand who is refugee and what even being a refugee means. When I explain to people, especially Christians, about a refugee, I share them about the story of Jesus after he was born, when Herod tried to kill all the children. The angel went to Joseph and Mary. The angel instructed them to take baby Jesus to Egypt for safety. So refugee is any person who flees the country of their origin because of the fear of persecution due to race, religion, political affiliation, or anything that can cause people to be discriminated against and that can put their lives in danger. So it's my passion to share with people, and I have been talking to some churches and actually connecting them with refugee communities and some churches like Mount Pisgah in Greensboro. Mm-hmm. They started the refugee ministry back in 2009, and there was where Refugees Rescue Mission was born.
Okay. So you being a refugee, you understand what it's like to flee your country. Tell us a little bit about that process to go from refugee to American citizen. I think that that is something that many of us do not understand, and there's certainly lots of talk about it in the political sphere right now. Tell us what you went through to from refugee status to American citizen.
Every year, I think the U.S. admits about 65,000 refugees who come from around the world. The process is that you have to be a legal refugee in the country where you were admitted. Then you go through the process. Once your case is approved, you come here. There are many churches that are involved in welcoming refugees, and actually that's how my family became Methodist, because as I shared with you, we're Pentecostal, but because of love and hospitality we experienced at Wesley UMC in Lexington, we became Methodist. So it's a long process, but once you come here legally, after 1 year, you are eligible for green card, and in 5 years, you can apply for citizenship through naturalization.
Okay. Very interesting. So you started the Refugee Rescue Mission at Mount Pisgah Church in Greensboro.
Yes.
What did that involve? What kinds of things did you have to do to make that happen?
Actually, the way Refugees Rescue Mission started, there were other refugees who came like me, who have been in the U.S. for many years, who could speak English. And we have been helping the newly arrived refugees to help them. We used to take them to doctor's appointments, the job appointments, and helping them to fill out the job applications. Pretty much we help them to assimilate in this society. And there were some Americans also who were helping. Then I came up with idea how we could actually do what we're doing more in an effective way. Then I came up with idea of starting Refugees Rescue Mission, which they thought was a good idea. We became a 501c3 nonprofit organization in January of 2009. We had some fundraiser from Mount Pisgah, and really Mount Pisgah supported us since the beginning, and they have been very supportive to this ministry until today.
Okay. So it's been nearly 7 years that this has been in process. What are some of the projects in which the Refugees Rescue Mission is involved with right now?
Back in 2014, our board of directors met, and we thought that maybe we should expand our work to Africa, where many refugees are, because now, we, according to United Nations, I think we are counting about 65 million refugees. Most of them are in Africa and the Middle East. So we have now a project in South Africa. There are two projects, actually. There is one church called the Family of God Ministries, which was started by a refugee from Rwanda with people from different countries. It's a church that is located in the Mpumalanga province in South Africa. This church is really what we see as a church that embodies the vision and the mission of Refugees Rescue Mission, because it brings together refugees from different countries with disadvantaged South Africans. They started a project to have their own church building. They raised about $5,400. Now the church building is at the level they need to put the roof on and to put the doors and finish it. But because of their financial difficulties, they are not able to complete what they have achieved. The budget to finish their church is less than $20,000. You can imagine $20,000 is the amount of money some of us here could use to renovate our kitchens, but for them, it's going to give them a church building, which will be the heart of their community. So that is the one project we are raising money for. And also, we are hoping to open a training center in the same community which we help children of refugees and disadvantaged South Africans who are not able to continue to college. We will train them for a year in construction, electricity, sewing, those kind of the trainings they need to get a job. We believe in that way, by helping refugees along with disadvantaged South Africa, we will build a bridge that will bring together the two communities, because in South Africa, they have been experiencing xenophobia, which is about the hate or mistrust of the others. So in that way, if we help all of them, we are going to build the trust between two communities for the better of the country of South Africa and also for the better of the refugees.
Okay. So this is something I should have asked earlier, but in the founding of Refugees Rescue Mission, how many countries were involved? How many refugees from how many countries were involved in that early setting at Mount Pisgah?
Let me see. There were Rwandans. There were pretty much, I think I may say there are two. Because we had some former Rwandan refugees. There was an African-American who is a pastor now, and there were three Caucasians.
Okay. So, but when you mention 65 million refugees in Africa, that is just an astounding number, and our country is bringing in, you said, 65,000, so a little tiny percentage of of refugees that we have worldwide. And so the need is great. That's what I'm saying there. So let's talk about ways that our churches here in Western North Carolina and individuals that might be listening to this show, how can they get involved with your mission?
I think there are two ways to get involved. Number one is prayer, because as a believer, I believe that with prayer, nothing is impossible. Number two If they want to get involved with refugee ministry, even here, there are many refugees, especially in the suburb communities, like in Charlotte, in Greensboro, in High Point. If they want to start a refugee ministry, I'll be more than happy to go and talk with them and connect them with those communities. Number three, if they want to help refugees rescue mission, they can visit our website, www.refugeesrescuemission.org. They will learn about the upcoming projects and what we are doing. They could support us through prayer and also financially.
Okay. And this website address, it is on the show's website, both at Blog Talk Radio and umconnect.info, and it's a simple click, and you can find out more about Innocent and this project. I find it fascinating reading, and to know that, you know, one of our own pastors here in Western North Carolina is involved in a worldwide project to help some of those who are in greatest need in the world. So we've got a few minutes left. You're the pastor. You're the preacher. You get the final words on this show. What do you want to say to people listening today?
First of all, I want to show them my gratitude. I'm so thankful for listening to this broadcast. And I want to thank you, Michael, for your time. I'm so thankful for our leaders in the Western North Carolina Conference for the opportunity they have given to me, even to be where I am now as an ordained elder. There are people who helped me along the way. So I'm so thankful for the opportunity, and I hope and pray that people will get involved and we can transform the world one community at a time.
Well, that is our mission as United Methodist, isn't it?
To
make disciples.
Yes.
Yes, and transform the world.
Absolutely.
That is a wonderful thing, and I am so glad that we have been connected, and I am glad that you've been able to share on the show today. And it has been very enlightening. I hope that everyone listening will hear these words, because in this country there is so much fear, there is so much worry about the other, and it's not only here, it's happening across the world. And what we see before us and what we've been listening to is someone who has been through this incredible process and made it to this point, and is not forgetting where he came from, not forgetting those that are still being left behind in the process. So thank you very much, Innocent, for your time.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate you very much.
Okay. So thanks, everyone, for listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. And this show will be available shortly as a podcast at the Blog Talk Radio page and on our show's website. And it will also be on iTunes after this afternoon. So keep up with the latest at umconnect.info. And we're going to be back next week connecting United Methodists and their stories. Thanks to our sponsors, the Western North Carolina Conference and the United Methodist Foundation of Western North Carolina. You can find out more about them on the sponsors section of the website, umconnect.info. I'm Michael Rich, and you've been listening to Connect.
Thank you. Likewise.